We sing a lot of songs about love here, and it's for good reason. That love is a very important thing. And we're going to talk today about love. But when we talk about love, initially, I want you to think in terms of not romantic love, okay? So sometimes what we do is when we talk about love is we kind of mix the two together and we distinguish and differentiate the two, and there's explanations. But what we're going to do is we're going to take romantic kind of love and just shove it out the door for this morning. We're talking about the love of God kind of love, the caring for people's souls, caring where people are kind of love. And we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to turn to a passage that we're going to look at in Philippians chapter 1. It's going to be on the screens for you. 9 through 11. We're going to spend most of our time for between verses 9 and 10 today. So let's start by reading that scripture. And this is my prayer. Paul speaking to the group at Philippi. And they have a couple issues in the church he's going to address later on in the book. This is early in the book. He's already told them how much he loves him, how much he appreciates what they've done for him, all that he's done. They had this great relationship. And then he comes and he says, and this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And the rest of the chapter says this, and you'll be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God the Father. We're going to dissect that piece of information right there. And the first thing we want to look at in verse 10 again is that your love, he prays that your love may abound in knowledge. If you take the next screen, Garrett. Right there, you see it in verse 9, actually. This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge. So what do we know scripturally about God's love? It's kind of like, you know, we've done studies on love. How many of you have ever done a study on love where you just took love and you broke it apart? Anybody? I'll see your hand if you can. Anybody? Okay. I don't know. I remember when I was younger, that used to be real popular. They would take the three different words, different kinds of love, and just dissect them into all the things that go on and explain love. But love has to be studied. And Paul says here that I want you to grow more and more in your knowledge of love. So we need to know what God's love looks like. In John 14:15. It says this, if you love me, Jesus said, you'll obey my commandments. So there's like one of the teachings on love. And then there's Luke 6:32 that says this, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them, right? And so there's a lot of teachings on love, and we need to grow in our knowledge. And Paul and God admonish us to try to grow in the knowledge of God. We need to know what God's love is like and what it is. And God's love is not bound by your definition of his love, and it's not bound by my definition. It's he has a definition of his love, and we need to know his love. You know, we just read in John 14:15, it says, we'll keep God's commandments, we'll keep Jesus' commandments if we love him. And so love is more than just the few verses that we find in the scriptures about love. Oh, here's all the love. Do your little thesaurus search. Find all the verses of love and say, that's what love is. Love is more than that. We have to grow in our knowledge of what love is. If this verse is true, we are obeying Jesus' commandments, then all the scripture is about love. And you can't fully love until you learn what the commandments are and learn how to honor God. So our attitude toward Jesus and his words, that affects the way we love. So if we understand what he wants and we don't do it, then that affects our love, because that's not love to not do what he says. So our attitude toward God in general affects the way we love. But there's a lot of other things that the scripture speaks about, and we have right or wrong attitudes as far as God is concerned, and they affect the way we love. Our attitude toward the poor can affect the way we love. Our attitude toward the rich can do the same. Our attitude toward comfort and possessions and cars and clothing, that affects the way we love. Our attitude towards football can affect the way you love. Your attitude toward safety and environment. Your attitude toward clothing and your appearance and your status. What you think about those things. God has something to say about all those things. Your attitude about food and sleep and suffering and free time and status. All those things. They affect the way we love, because what happens is self pulls in place of opportunity that we might have to love other people and to help other people. So to grow in the knowledge of love means we have to grow in the obedience of God. So there it is. We have to grow more and more in the knowledge, and then we have to also grow in the depth of insight. You see it right there? And I'm going to label that little part the nuances of love. Okay, the nuances of love. People who are the very best at what they do, they don't just read the book and they don't just watch the videos. They get out there and they practice and they train. And that's how they get better, by doing it, and oftentimes by doing it very, very poorly at the beginning and then improving. I teach from time to time beginner guitar students. I don't do it a whole lot anymore. But I'm about almost as good as I was when I was in high school playing guitar. I haven't really progressed a whole lot since then. But I can play four chords in rock and roll and use the capo and get up there, and I can play four chords, you know. And it doesn't sound too bad, you know. I got those. But I remember the day when it wasn't that way. My brother got a guitar, and he was going to be a rock star, and I had to learn because he was going to learn. And it looked something like this. It really did. And I helped him with the other hand. And then I got him in place. And then, I was playing guitar. And eventually it got faster and faster, and your muscles got a little better. But it sounded like that for a pretty long time. And I wrote a song for my sister one time. It was called "I Do As I Darn Well Please," because she got tired of hearing those four chords. And not only were there only four chords, but they were pitifully played. But what happens is, at what point do you say, "I'm playing the guitar"? Well, when you're doing this, you're playing the guitar. You are. But then you go from the point from playing the guitar to playing the guitar, right? You know the difference between playing the guitar and playing the guitar. And it doesn't happen overnight, and it's not an easy transition, and it takes lots of T-I-M-E to make that happen. And that's where the nuances come in. God wants us to abound in love and say, "Oh, I love." But look at the scripture. It says, "I want your love to abound more and more and more." Not only in the knowledge of love, what you know with your head about love, but your nuances of love. And you're not going to get good at loving other people until you put that time in and you get out there and you try and you fail, if there is such a thing in failing in love. Can you fail when you love other people? Well, sometimes we think of it in these terms. We say, "Man, when I love, I feel like I'm taken advantage of, you know. It's like I give and then they don't, nothing comes back to me." Well, if that's our attitude about love, we need to relearn what love is, because love gives expecting nothing in return. So if we're disappointed after we loved, ding, 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 maybe we didn't love very well. Because we're expecting that thank you. We're expecting that warm smile. We're expecting people to praise us. We did all the good right things, but then we didn't get anything back. Well, it wasn't quite the kind of love that God has. When we love, we just give. And sure, it's nice to get the thank you. It's nice to get the pat on the back. But love is not about that. It's about doing it, maybe not doing it very well, and then we learn the nuances. You know, I mentioned the dancing, and literally, it's one of the scariest things ever for me to think about actually dancing. But You know, you can put your feet approximately in the right place at approximately the right time, and that's dancing, right? And I remember on Dancing with the Stars, there was a guy on there, his name was P. Diddy. Anybody remember P. Diddy on there? I didn't know who he was. I think his son was a rap star or something, and his son couldn't make it. And so P. Diddy got on there, and I can dance like P. Diddy. Because here was P. Diddy. That's about all P. Diddy did on Dancing with the Stars. And technically, he was dancing. But we know what real dancing looks like, right? It's smooth. It's wonderful. That's what love is. You know, there's the beginner stage of love, and then there's this nuances of love that, man, I got it down. It's like, I can do this. Oh, I can do that. And once you start that ball rolling, you're saying, I can help here. I can do this. I can do this for them. And we get consumed in love, and then we move out of the remedial area, and we move to the more advanced stages. So the same is true for love. We make a practice out of our love, and it's going to be ugly at first. But we're lifetime learners in the Lord, right? We don't ever just assume we've got there, and now we look down off our big perch and we go, well, I got it. I hope y'all can make it up here. No, we continue to learn and grow and grow and grow in love. And you don't have to be as good as anybody else to love. There's not a minimum quality of love. You just got to get busy and you got to start doing it. And the only way to abound in the depth of insight, the understanding, is to get out there and do it. And you can use a lot of things to love people. You know, love isn't like a cookie cutter one way to do it. You can use whatever skills you have to love people by fixing and repairing and cooking and cleaning and whatever skills you might have. You can love people by donating your skills to them. You can donate your education, help people learn, help them avoid pitfalls that you have come into. You can love people just by your demeanor. You all know somebody who just has that joy, right? I mean, just their face ministers to you. And so you can minister with that. You can minister with your voice and words, of course. You can minister with your prayers. And then you can minister, you know, through the written word, through letters. But you can also minister just with your presence and a silent mouth. I'm here. So love doesn't look like one little thing. Oh, that's what love is. And that's why Paul's saying, I want you to grow more and more in your understanding and the insights of what love is. Love, opportunities are everywhere. They're every day. They're all the time. There's opportunities to love. And Paul said that's what he wants for us, and that's what I want for me, and that's what I want for you. So if we grow in the knowledge and insight, look at the next two words in verse 10 there. So Paul says, I want this for you, and I want it so that. So Paul gives you the whole what to do, and he says, and here's why. Here's why. Because love opens the doors to these very tangible benefits. If you get engulfed in love, if your love just gets on fire and gets roaring out of control, it has some very specific benefits. Look in verse 10 there. So that you'll be able to discern what is best. Man, making good decisions. I want to learn how to make good decisions. Well, some of that comes by making bad decisions, right? And saying, well, I'm never doing that again. And then some comes by experiencing other people's, but in the process of love, Paul says that we can learn to decide and decipher and discern what is best. The King James says, approve the things that are excellent. And on the same token, that also means disapprove of the things that aren't excellent, right? So you learn to distinguish the two as you grow in the knowledge of God's love. One of the Greek direct translations said it was prove the difference. I can prove the difference. Now I know I can prove it because of what I know about love. And when we view all of life through the lens of a growing and deepening love, we will make better decisions. You know, a lot of our decisions, most of our decisions aren't about between good and evil. There's plenty of those out there. And you know where your pitfalls are. And you know the struggles that you have. But many of our decisions are between what's best. How do I know what's best? Kim and I just bought a new washing machine just this past week. And take a guess why we bought a new washing machine. No, it was just because it really didn't look quite as pretty as... No, it broke. It just quit. 6 years. It had the date written on the back. 6 years. So you start that. You start that process, right? All right. What do? You go online and you try to figure out how to make a good decision. Well, that's not a spiritual decision, and yet you want to make good use of your money. So I did start doing the things. I did the research, and everything I really liked was out of my price range. I didn't want to pay that much for it. So I did the research, I read the reviews, other people's experiences, and I brought them in. And then I did some remembering about how things work, being somewhat mechanical, of what could possibly break down, this one versus that, what I know about electronics and things. And so you put all this together, and then we went to the store, went to Lowe's, and we just walked around, looked at the best we want. We said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. No, that's not how you make big decisions, right? Let's flip a coin. I hope you don't make decisions that way. But if we love, we can discern what is best. God can reveal that to it. And usually it's not in a written form, you know, floats down, oh, buy the Maytag. You know, it's not that kind of thing. But you can learn to make good decisions in life when we grow in God's love. So one of the great benefits of growing in love and fanning that flame and looking for opportunities and loving more is that we get smarter. We make better decisions. And look what's next. And then we're able to discern, and we can be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. So what happens when we love? We make better choices and we sin less. So whatever sin problem you have, whatever issue you're dealing with, love is part of that remedy. Sin is remedied by repentance, by saying, all right, I got to turn away from this. I agree with God. It's not right. It's remedied by repentance, and then it's displaced by love. We put love in its place. We put service in its place. And what happens is we love more and more, and we sin less and less because we're too busy trying to honor God and love and serve other people, and our sin gets pushed out when we love and when we serve. You know, and this idea of pure and blameless, it's not your definition of pure and blameless, and it's not certainly not mine. God has His own standard of what is pure and what is blameless. Another translation in the Greek, it said this word was unoffending. Unoffending. Only God gets to decide what offends Him. Oh, that won't offend God. Well, if you know His word, you'll know if it does or not. And if you walk in love, you will know what is pure and blameless, and you will start doing those things when you surround yourself with love that flows from God and flows to other people on a regular basis. You know, you gotta not be very good at things before you can get good at them most of the time. Every once in a while, somebody just picks up a guitar and they go. Every once in a while, somebody just, oh, they got the moves. I don't know. You know, they're God blessed. But most of us, if we do anything, typing, anything, it takes a while to get good at it. And as a performer, whether dancing or singing or playing, there's one thing that I always hated, and I hoped it never happened, but it did happen. And it's called the dreaded sympathy clap. The dreaded sympathy clap. And it looks like this. It looks like this. And I've had it. You get up and you do your very best and you weren't prepared enough, or you just weren't far enough along, and it really didn't meet the standards, the minimum standards of anybody, and you get that sympathy clap. And we want to stand before God pure and blameless on the day of Christ. I mean, Christ is the only one that makes us pure, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's our job to become more and more like Him. And God wouldn't do the sympathy clap. I mean, His nature would not allow Him to do that. But I don't want to stand before God and Him go, all right, Greg, yeah, you made it. You're in. Woohoo. And that's, what do you want to hear from God? You want to hear, well done. Man. Woo. Isn't that what you want to hear? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into the blessings. Well, the way to be pure and blameless is through love and service. So you want to make better choices? I think you do. So do I. We need to grow in the knowledges and nuance of love. You want to know what's best? You want to do the right thing? The Scripture tells you. Let your love abound. Super large. In the words of one old purple dinosaur, let your love be super-de-duper. Taking you back to the Barney days. So we're supposed to grow and abound in love. And when we love, when we grow in love, what happens? The world looks different. We literally get smarter. And we make a real difference in the people that God brings into our lives. So are you ready to make a commitment to say, hey, I'm going to step up my game. I'm going to love a little better. I hope that you are. Would you pray with me? Father God, it's good to spend time in your love. Spend time in your presence, lifting you up. And Father, we thank you for your word. It's clear and it speaks to each heart. And God, I know that you speak to each of us in different ways. God, there's not one answer for everybody's life here right now except your presence and your power. And so, Father, as you speak to all of us, I pray that we'll say yes to what you have. And that, Lord, you'll help us to move forward in your love. And we'll reap those benefits. And God, we'll live lives that make a huge difference for you. We love you. And we ask you to do a great work during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.